Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of funny that Joanne gave them all flashlights today, because when I lived in northern Minnesota, Cynthia and I were in a town called Nisswa. Beautiful area. Red pines, white pines, huge oak trees, maple trees, etc. And one night where we lived, I decided to go out and see how dark it was. So I took a flashlight, walked down the dirt road that led to our house, got to a point where I thought, okay, let's see how dark it is, and I turned it off. It's the darkest it had ever been in my life. It was so dark. You say, how dark was it? It was so dark that I began to experience vertigo. I could not see the trees. I knew they were all around me. I couldn't see them, not even the shape. It was that dark. I looked up. All I could see was a little bit of sky. No stars, no moon. I thought I was going to fall over. So obviously, I quickly turned the flashlight on, and then I was okay. But I had never experienced that kind of dark before. I never realized that that kind of dark could give somebody like me vertigo. I could feel where my feet were, but that was it. And I wasn't even sure about that after a while. Now, trees, of course, respond to light. I recently read that a healthy tree of any kind needs at least 6 hours of sunlight a day to grow, produce fruit, that's berries, or not berries, seeds, whatever it is that come out from that tree, to say nothing of leaves and needles. And most of us are kind of like those trees. We need light. Not only for healthy skin and vitamin D and all that, but we need light so that we can produce fruit, the fruit of the gospel, the fruit of Jesus Christ. We need light, just not only the light from the sun, but the light that comes from Christ. Now, did you know that in the gospels, there are more recorded miracles of Jesus giving sight to the blind than of any other kind of healing? In the Old Testament, the giving of sight to the blind is associated with God himself. And of course, it's a messianic activity, which is why I think it's mentioned and given such importance in the Gospel of John. It's a messianic activity. Christ is the Messiah. The Messiah is Christ. He gives light. He gives sight to the blind. And now he's doing something that was unheard of ever. He's giving sight to someone who was born blind. In 1 John 1, we read that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, when the light shines, the light of Christ, some are made to see. Others who think they see turn away. They're blinded by the light. And what we have before us this morning is a miracle, a sign. The word of the Father, mediated through his Son, Jesus Christ, to shed light on those who live in darkness. Jesus has just said that he is the light of the world. Now, back in chapter 8, Christ said, I am the light of the world. And this is what we call a God statement. Because in the Greek, I am, it's repeated twice. Ego, eimi, I am, I am. Think of God at the burning bush. Moses says, who are you? God says, I am, I am. So this is a God statement. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And now he gives light and sight to a man born blind. He's illustrating the point, so to speak. And Jesus, of course, is obeying the one who sent him. And even as those around him, the Pharisees, think they see, they're shutting out the light. Here, it's kind of ironic that the man who was born blind has become a theological object with us. A debate starts. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he might be born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He's born blind that the glory of God might be revealed through him. The man becomes the object of divine mercy. And it's kind of funny in a way, not funny ha-ha, but funny, that God made us all from dust. And Jesus was spittle, and the dust makes mud. And he puts it on the man's eyes and says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. The man is sent to the pool. The one sending him is the one sent by God. God is using a little bit of that dust to restore sight to a man who was otherwise lacking. The blind man sent to the pool of Siloam isn't healed by the mud on his eyes, nor is he healed by the pool. Truthfully, he's healed by Christ. And it's Christ who's using these other things for whatever reason that restores his sight. Now the thing is, this happened on the Sabbath. So you can imagine the ruckus. You can imagine the furor. The Pharisees are just so upset because here he's healing on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You shall not do any work on the Sabbath. Well, Christ healing a man, whether it's giving him sight because he was born blind, or whether he's restoring a man's withered hand, or helping a woman who's never been, hasn't been able to stand up for, I don't know, 11 years or something like that. He does these things on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees get very bent out of shape. He's doing a work. They're totally not seeing what is happening. They're not listening to Christ, and in this case, they're not listening to the man born blind either, because they keep questioning him. Frankly, had I been there then, I think the Pharisees would have driven me nuts. How many times are they going to ask, who healed you? How did he heal you? And variations of the same, whether to the man's parents or to the man himself. And when the man finally gets fed up and says, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. Are you seeking to become his disciples? Is that why you keep asking? And how the Pharisees, who were bent out of shape beforehand, are really bent out of shape. I kind of enjoy that part of it. Not because I'm that way, but I am. The man who now sees insists that he was blind and now he sees. That's a miracle. It's a sign. So what are we getting all caught up about? Well, he was healed on the Sabbath, totally missing the point that something unheard of has just occurred, something that the Old Testament makes no reference to other than it's the Messiah who can restore sight. Sight is restored. Messiah, only the Messiah can restore sight like this. Sight has just been restored. The man, maybe he is the Messiah. But somewhere along the line, the Pharisees don't make the connection. the man who was blind now sees. Those doing the questioning were so firmly in the grip of darkness that they could only see a technical breach of their law. They could not see, could not discern a spectacular victory of light over darkness. As they dispute with the man, they're revealing their own blindness. They've lost sight of the person in front of them because their lens for seeing is their interpretation of the law. They just don't see him, even though they're looking right at him. They've lost sight of God's presence in all of this. And Jesus, of course, challenges their use of the law because they're using it as a tool for control and for punishment. That's not what the law is for. And Jesus knows that better than we do. On a spiritual level, blind, of course, refers to those who are in spiritual darkness. Jesus came to open their eyes. In some cases, he's opening the physical eyes of someone. But otherwise, he's trying to open the eyes of those who live in darkness, even though they can see perfectly well. Jesus wants to give them the light of the world, the light of revelation that's going to enable them to truly see. But those who see, in other words, those who think they see, in this case, the Pharisees, make so many incredibly profound wrong statements about Christ that they inevitably reject the true light when he comes. Jesus didn't come into a world of people who are aware of their need. They thought they were perfectly fine. And even now, in our world today, many have their own inadequate sense of light that they are not willing to give up. They're too proud to relinquish it for the true light of the world that now shines. The man who had been given his sight had never seen Jesus. He knew it was Jesus who healed him, but he had never seen Jesus. He was blind, sent to the pool. He washed, got his sight. Now Jesus comes and finds him because he had heard that the man had been kicked out of the synagogue. Jesus comes, identifies himself as the Son of Man. Jesus sought him out. Jesus found him. Jesus seeks us out, and he has found us. One by one, he has found us. Jesus, as he did with the man born blind, restored our sight. Not our physical sight, but our sight, our spiritual sight. And we can see that Christ used love to find this man. He used love to heal him. God is love. Jesus is love. The light of the world is love. Christ gives light through love. And now, dear friends, let us each share the light of Christ, that it might shine through us, and we can share the illumination of Jesus with one another, but also with the world around us. Amen.